Okay, we're on page 128. We just turned the page to 128, which is the Maamar HaShlishi towards the end of Eisnun Gimel. From reading it, the chaver in this long train of back and forth, the king had insisted about asking about the Karaites, the Karoyim. The king had responded, the chaver had responded in a general way. And then the Kuzar kept on asking about individual items, which the chaver really begged him not to do. He answered some of them. And at this point, you can just picture it, the king starts to ask him to explain how Atzuras HaPesach works in an Erev. So it's a little too much to try to explain. And instead, the chaver here went into a long discussion of the general mistake of people who try to understand Torah without really understanding Torah. He explained,
without
really knowing what it's about, trying to understand. See, what he said is this. He said that he compared it, last time we learned about alchemy, how there's a desire to know which yesodos cause things to happen, which basic ideas cause things to happen. He's saying is that in Torah, it is that way. There are certain combinations of either, what he said is that the Karaites try to do what the alchemists do. The alchemists, they say, we're going to figure out how much heat and how much water and how much wind and how much earth, and we'll create gold out of metal. He says that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, well, if doing a mitzvah brings a certain schus, so forget about the mitzvah, let's try to understand what are the tricks behind it that cause it to happen. And it doesn't work that way, he said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser certain things in this world bring a good hashpah, and it has nothing to do with your own combinations. So now he goes to a rather extreme example to try to explain it, just to get the flow. On the bottom of page 127, the bottom line, he explained, Eina nase kemutva. The result of mitzvahs is not something you can figure out like nature. Kemaisim hatoriyim, sheim daimim lativiyim, ein chayadeya tunuasam. Things that happen because of Torah, spiritual things that happen, in the same, with cause and effect, just like nature, natural things. You don't know tunuasam what causes them to move, what causes them to happen. V'techashvein toihu. And they would look to be silly until you see what they accomplish. Shaking a lemon and a branch in a direction, what does that do? Unless you know that it causes results, it's not something you can figure out logically. That's his complaint, his overall complaint. Now here he gives a very interesting marshal, kasher. He gives an example from nature. If you had never in your life heard, Mishkol, of relationships between a man and a woman. Let's say you have a human being that never heard about, intimate relations. And he had no desire for it. And he had no knowledge of what comes from it. Then you'd see this idea of a man connecting to the most disgusting of the limbs of a woman, of the organs of a woman. A woman urinates there. And from there come blood and urine. And how can a man be machni himself to a woman in that way? He said, Nifla Vaymer, you would be amazed. You would say, these guys are nuts. What are they doing? Until you see, bang, a baby gets born from this. You'll see that you became a help to the Creator. And he gave you the opportunity to have a child. So he's saying is that it's something which in absolute terms is ridiculous, but the way Hashem created the world, it causes the world to continue. And so too are with the spiritual things we do that we learn from the Torah, which are taught, measured by God. For example, Tishchat HaKeves Aladimyon. He gives an example of a carbon. The example is, if somebody shechts a sheep, V'telachlech B'damai, and he gets himself filthy with its blood, V'afshatasai, and skinning it, V'rechitzas Meya V'hadachasai, and washing its inner organs, and rinsing it, and nituchai, and cutting it, v'srikas damai, and spraying its blood, arichas eitzim, v'akadas eishai, and preparing wood and fire, ilu loy haya b'mitzis alakim ha'isa loy iglamaisim ha'elu. Were not that God commanded karbanis, we would laugh at it. V'yisachayshev ki hei meruchakim min alakim, loy mukuravim. You would say, that's not a godly thing to do. You take an animal, you shecht it, everything gets all filthy, you cut it up, and you burn it. What does that do? It doesn't do anything. Ad shekasher yishalem karoi or yashlam karoi, until it's complete. V'tira ha'esh, and you'll see the heavenly fire come down. Oy timtza v'asvucha ruach acheres leisa ragalba. After bringing karbanis, people were uplifted. They had a different spirit that they're not accustomed to. Achaloymes amiti aysekedaylos. Those that were zeichet to ruach hakodesh, which is called chaloymes, teida. Then you'll realize came tel des mashegedamta. So just like his marshal of having a child, so too bringing a carbon, the actions themselves, you would say, make no sense. But Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us that if you do it, it brings certain results. And this great thing that you connected to, you achieved. Once somebody has Ruach HaKodesh, it connects to God, he's not afraid of death. Because then you realize that death is only the end of the body. So it's so great, this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Karbanis, that it makes a person feel his spirituality. And you'll realize that coming close to God comes from those mitzvahs that Hashem commanded. You can only understand the Kaddish Baruch Hu's mitzvahs through a Navi, not by comparing things, not by thinking things through. And our only connection is through the Messiah. And we didn't get the mitzvahs from an individual or two. And we had many different Nevi'im over the generations. And even if it was only the Kohen Levi'im and Zekeinim, it came straight from Moshe. So he sort of silences him here on the Karite business by telling him that the whole approach is wrong, and you can't use logic unless you accept the Messiah first. This is sort of the end of the Karaite discussion. Now he comes to a discussion, which even today, for Bali Tshuva, is an important discussion, and that is the idea of the Messiah, the idea that everything we have is generation to generation, it comes down to us. So here we have a Nach piece. As a matter of fact, the Hakel Shiurim this year, we learned Nehemiah, and I quoted this part, next part of the Kuzari, in one of the Nehemiah gatherings. Because what he asks here, anybody could ask. But you would never ask the question if you never learned Nehemiah. So most people don't have the question. It's a little strange, you know. Boy, has anybody learned Nehemiah? It's such a nice book. No, it's 13 chapters. You go on a flight to Israel, people say aboard. Take along a Nehemiah. Even just with the English translation. It's a beautiful story. No? It's a mystery why nobody does it. Huh? I don't get it. Maybe it's a pleasant flight. I don't know. Like Ezra at least has some Aramaic in it. It's a little hard. Nehemiah is all Hebrew. All easy to read. Parts of it are lists of names you can go through quickly. So, before your next flight, let's prepare now. And he is here a kash on two parts of Nehemiah. Omer HaKuzari. Now, you imagine this Kuzar king learned Nehemiah. You guys never learned Nehemiah. Omer HaKuzari. Loi re'isi anshe bayesheni. I don't see that the Jews that returned to build the second Beis HaMikdash, Elishikvah Shachu HaTayra. You're saying you have a Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu till today. But look, when they came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they had forgotten the Torah. L'yadu mitzvah sukkah. And they weren't aware that there's a mitzvah to build a sukkah, to eat in a sukkah. Achamasu ksuva b'Torah, until they discovered it when they read the Torah. V'chei mitzvah l'yavi amayna yimayavi, and the prohibition against marrying a ger from amayna mayav. V'nema b'hem v'yimtsu kasa b'Torah. The pasuk says, this is the words of the pasuk. Vayimtsu, and they found kasa b'Torah. It says this in the Torah. Zeraya al avdana Torah. It's a right. The Torah had been forgotten. So this is interesting.
Over there in that section there, it's a shul. That's why the chemi was mechazik them, and Ezra was mechazik them. But in Babel, where Torah is still flourishing.
But these are people from Babel. They traveled there from Babel. Wow. This was the generation that came from Babel. This wasn't later. These are people who came from Babel. You got here 60,000 people. And it says in the pasuk, Nesfu Rashi Avis L'Cholam, they all gathered, the kind of email, Ezra Sefer, Laskal Divrei Torah. I'm reading the pasuk, he records it on the bottom. V'yimtsu kasa b'Torah, shesiva shem yad maisha, shesheshu b'nei Yisrael b'sukais. He doesn't even bring the worst part of it. It says, lo yashu b'sukais b'yemahu, from the days of Yeshua. Says they from the days of Yeshua. Rei David and Shlaima, they didn't sit in sukkahs. In the context, it's very hard to explain it the way you're explaining it. Now, the chavar does what he does all the time. Instead of answering the particular question, he shows in a very general way that it can't be correct. And he doesn't get back to explain what was going on there. So let's read what the chavar tells him. And what actually took place, we'll see, we'll talk about it a little bit. Because the Gemara actually asked the question, it's not like the Kuzar thought of the question. Nunhei, Amar HaChavar, Imkei, let's say you're right, they forgot how to build a sukkah. Let me ask you a question. And if so, Anachnu Hayem Chachamim V'yayidim Yaisim Mehen. So we know about sukkah, we must be wiser than them. Shnachnu Yayidim HaTorah Kulak Fimashem Etenu. We know what it says in the Chumash, what it says in the Torah. Amar HaKuzari, Kainan Yayimah, that's what I'm saying. Let's imagine. Let's say today we would become commanded. We would be commanded lahakrif karbanis to build the Beis HaMikdash and to offer up sacrifices. Hahayinu noidim ech nishchateim leizetzad. Well, we know how to shech them, in which side of the Beis HaMikdash. Kibul domai, how we're supposed to catch the blood. Hefsheitei v'nituchai, skinning it and cutting it up. L'kamani tochim yinotech. You learn Gemara, you learn there's such a thing as cutting up the animal. But I don't know, do you cut them into big pieces, little pieces, cubes? Ve'ech nakriv, ech nizrek hadam, u'milchasev v'niskai, how to spritz the blood, the karbon milcha, the nesef, hashir haroi lai malav, we know the song. U'masha kainim chayavim bay mikdusha v'tahara, and what kainim have to know to be kadosh and tahar. U'mishicha, and when it needs to be smeared with the oil, Ubegodim and the Bigdei Kuhuna, the Tchunais, with the different shapes or positions of the building. How you eat it, Zmaneyam, Umukaimasam, when and where to eat it. Zulasa, more than that, Mashiach Sipurai. Would we be able to get up now and build a Beis HaMikdash? You know, it's very nice till you try to do it, you realize there's a lot that we don't know. Amar Kuzari, Loi Neidase, Al Makayin Navi, we wouldn't be able to figure that out. So you see, he circumvents the question. He tries to show the question is ridiculous. They didn't have a sukkah. You see how they built the Mizbeach initially. And then later, HaKadosh Baruch helped them. And they built the whole Beis HaMikdash. And after that, they built a wall. It's not just that they built a wall around Yerushalayim. You can build walls around any city, but the pasuk says that they consecrated it. There's a special procedure by which one gives kedusha to additions to the city of Yerushalayim. Hatashav shayim akrivim ibli seder kafishi es damin. So you think they just did whatever they wanted? They didn't know the seder. Amar Kuzari, you're right. Lo itachem shitia oila isherech nechayach fi mitzvah shein esichlis. It can't be bringing a carbon which is not something you can figure out logically. It must be that they were given the commandments according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions. They knew about Yom Kippur, they knew about mitzvahs that were greater than Sukkah. They had to know what was going on. So here the king is conceding that it's a little ridiculous to think that a frum community that kept the Torah for the most part didn't know about a sukkah if they knew about everything else. So in Samach Aleph he says, Amar Chaver, Mishiyadeh Ela Adiktu Kim B'Torah Hayalam Imenu Asay Sukkah. You think someone who knows all the things about Torah doesn't know about making a sukkah?
This was after Purim.
What?
This was after Purim or before Purim? This year?
Mostly after.
So they Kimu
V'Kimu, Kimu V'Kimu
Kavar. I mean, they did know.
Okay. He's trying to show that it's illogical to say differently. Not just that that they did know. See, the book of Ezra starts before Purim. The Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael and start to build. They actually build a Mizbeach. Then permission is retracted. They're told to pause actually, but the pause is one of these government things where they refer to committee. So it says they refer to committee the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and then the 14 years of Achashverosh pass. He becomes king. And he doesn't give permission to build the Beis Hamikdash. And then his son, when Achashverosh dies, his son from Esther, the man we call Daryavesh, the Pasuk calls Artashasta, he becomes king after Achashverosh, and he gives permission to complete the building of the Beis Hamikdash in a very generous way. And of course, the thing about it that's most ironic is that according to Halacha, he's Jewish. Because he's the son of Esther and Achashverosh, so although Achashverosh didn't exactly go ask a shaila by the Beis Din, Achashverosh said Jewish nothing. He's Persian. He's Parson Wadai, and they raised him as a guy. They raised him as a guy. He was not raised as a Jew, and ultimately died. According to the secular historians, Alexander killed him. I don't think in the Gemara it says that anywhere. But according to the secular historians, Alexander mugged him. Does not. I don't think it's Alexander.
So
is it
Darius II that was killed by Alexander?
This was Darius II, was the son of Achashverosh, because Kairish, the first Kairish was also named Daryavesh. And according to our records, he was the last king. But as you know, there's a lot of debate over it. The generations where they cared more about it than our generation. It was a hotly debated topic. And the Malbim has a long arichos in the Chemia on this topic. In the Chemia, he doesn't quote the secular historians at all, but he asks, very interesting, the Pasuk in the Chemia, the Kohen Gadol at the time of the Chemia was a man named El Yashuv, probably named after Rebbe El Yashuv, right? So there's a man named El Yashuv, was a popular name at the time of Tanakh. There are a lot of El Yashuvs in Tanakh. So the Pasuk describes his son, six generations, for those five more generations after him, Kohen Gadol. And the last one, I believe, is a man named Yivada. And his son is Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik met Alexander. So the Malbim makes the point that we have a problem, because it looks to have five generations from the story of Nehemiah till Shimon HaTzadik meeting Alexander. Which is problematic, because the way we understand, you can call it two generations. You want to stretch it, call it three, but it's not five or six generations. So the Malbim presents this problem without quoting the secular historians. Interestingly enough, he answers that it's not an issue, because he makes a cheshbon regarding the age of the Kohen Gadol, and he makes a cheshbon that of the six Kainim Gedailah mentioned there, it could be that by the time the Chemya ends, they're already holding by the sixth one. He calculates the age of Yeshua Kain Gadol, who's the one that came back. Yeshua Kain Gadol is the first of the six, so Yashua is the third. It's six from Yeshua. Yeshua Kain Gadol was the Kain Gadol when they came back. Yeshua Kain Gadol, we learn about him in the Aftairah. So, and then there are six generations. So he makes a cheshbon that he was 105, and he had a child when he was 15, and he goes through a cheshbon how it's not necessarily a contradiction. But, okay.
It's hard to say based on the fact that Purim occurred around this time, whatever, and it says that Kimu Masha Kibu, it's hard to say that they didn't know about the mitzvahs. They maybe didn't keep it, but they knew it.
It's true, because even if the king would have been right, and the Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael, like Monty said before, could be Jews who came to Eretz Yisrael were less learned. The bulk, the overwhelming majority of Jews, at least 90% were still in Babel.
What?
Were still in Babel. At least 90%, there were over a million Jews. There
that
may have been a lot
the
more.
Center of learning.
It was the center of everything. It was the center of everything until Hillel came. From Hillel through Rebbe, there were seven generations where it shifted to Eretz Yisrael. And then we're right back to Babel. Just those few generations.
Not necessarily that the people who left Eretz Yisrael, or Babel, to go to Eretz Yisrael, wanted to be the Chachamim. We find
that... We like to think that the greater people went. We don't know for certain. We like to think that the people who Mordechai went, he was one of those who went initially, even though he went back to Babel. But he was in the first group that went. We like to think that... But you know something? It's really not necessarily
in the
that way.
Except for pockets of things, most of them went out for people.
Well, and they went. All the modern aliyahs to Eretz Yisrael were running away from persecution. There was no mass movement of Jews to Eretz Yisrael for noble reasons. There was no mass movement of Jews from comfortable surroundings to go. Tamidei Agra and Tamidei Baal Shem went at one point, but they went in the dozens. They didn't go in the hundreds, certainly not in the thousands. And if you take out the Encyclopedia Judaica on Aliyah, he goes through the Aliyah, you see each one was a result of a specific oppression. As a matter of fact, the third Aliyah is named after the Polish Treasury Minister. I don't remember his Polish name. They call it the so-and-so Aliyah. He decreed that Jews couldn't own property and limited how much money they could have, and that caused the wave of immigration. And from Russia, there were more immigrants from Russia to Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else after the pogroms in
the huge majority went to America.
The many more came to America. The numbers that came to America are astounding. But a small amount went to Eretz Yisrael. But my point is, you're right, Aliyah wasn't the biggest tzaddikim, but
it wasn't just the pogroms, it was also being drafted into the army.
That was earlier. Then I don't know how they went. During the Cantonist decrees, I don't know how
many. My grandfather came because
the Cantonist decrees were not a time of mass aliyah. I don't know why. It's earlier.
But wasn't there any that time?
All right.
Well, Ezra
took those of questionable lineage back, but that wasn't the bulk. It was not the bulk of the people. And that was when Ezra came later. The initial 40,000 that came didn't include that. So, unfortunately, the Levim didn't go in adequate numbers. You know, my ancestors didn't go. It says the Levim didn't go. Ezra made a knas on the Levim, that the money, the Maisa, which is given normally to Levim, could be given to Kohanim, because Levim were not Ola.
Rav Rattenberg said to us that the people that were in... why did they go in Eretz Yisrael? There was a lot of intermarriage.
When?
During the time of Ezra. Was it Ezra? It was during Ezra.
Yeah, it was 113 families. There was intermarriage, but Ezra cried and wept to intermarriage.
Right.
And then when you start reading, it says how many intermarried. It's 113 people out of 60,000. So, you know, that's mass intermarriage.
Some of the others were Megayim.
I don't know about that. It says that he cried about intermarriage. And the Yishach was the Shayim, and it's all of them, and it counts them, and you count the names, I think it's 113, if I remember correctly. And, but that's intermarriage, you know, that's bad news, 113. But, it's the last parak of Ezra. 113 out of, it's not even out of 60,000, it's not even fair to say out of 60,000, because it probably was more. Because the 40,000 that came up, this was now 20 a generation later. There may have been many more. So we say 60, it's a low estimate. Okay, so we're up to Samach Beis. We'll still get back to why they didn't know about the Sukkos. So we'll still deal with Sukkos, Mirtz Hashem, in the middle of Chodesh Tevis, on Thursday night.